It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your hosts, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
Let's Talk Legal with Harvell & Collins, attorneys at law, the right advice at the right time. And join us is Cecil Harvell. Hi, Cecil.
Good morning, Ben. How are you?
Doing well. What shall we talk about today?
Okay, Ben. The last few weeks, a couple of weeks, we've talked about really deeds and the different types of deeds that there happen to be, such as words like tenants by entirety, a deed between a husband and wife, tenants in common, meaning deeds between just two individuals, like if siblings just inherit their parents' home, a third, a third, and a third,
right,
then they own it as tenants in common. If you own property with your brother or your cousin or your business partner, many times it is, you know, a tenants in common interest, okay? And then we talked about the effects of these kinds of these types of ownership. The other side of the coin, Ben, relative to deeds are account registrations. After all, in our world, in the law, there is real property known as land, which would be controlled by these deeds. And then there is money, stocks, bonds, CDs, anything, IRAs, annuities, any other kind of asset known in the law as personal property, okay? Everything more or less in the law, a lawyer will tell you, falls into one of those two categories. It is either real property or it is personal property. And on the personal property side of things, which we now want to talk about today and into next week, one of the most common things that we are encountering is that account registrations now are complicated, and the way in which we title our money. And when I say money, again, Ben, I'm talking about different kinds
all these
of
assets,
money, all these kinds of
liquid,
quote,
and
liquid assets. Now, I think most of our listeners know an IRA, whether it's a Roth IRA or a traditional IRA, individual retirement account, these are titled in our individual name. And they have a beneficiary, and you are able to name on the beneficiary form with whoever it happens to be, Fidelity, Ameritrade, whoever holds the IRA, you're able to then designate your beneficiary. If you do not have a beneficiary, Ben, then the company upon our death, you know, has to do something with our IRA, and the default beneficiary is always going to be the estate. So it would pay to the estate, and it would pass according to the last will and testament or the estate provisions that are controlling the estate.
Right.
This is a critical juncture here in our conversation, Ben, because there are many times when we want an asset to pass to our estate, and we will intentionally name as beneficiary of an asset the estate so that it will, in fact, come into the estate and pass according to the will, the trust, whatever plan we have established. But with an IRA, many times the beneficiary is going to be an individual. It would be our spouse. It would be our children. It might be our brother, our sister, whoever we really elect to be the beneficiary, which we need to be aware that that the beneficiary designation is going to trump the will. Don't think that just because your will says that your assets go, you know, two ways, equally between the two children, if you then make the IRA payable to, you know, one of the children, then it's going to just go to the one child. The beneficiary designation is going to trump or control where that asset goes. Another asset is the annuity. That has a beneficiary designation. We know that life insurance has a beneficiary designation. And this is kind of traditionally where it kind of, if you will, stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Historically, even when I started practicing law some years ago, Ben, you know, I always had to ponder and analyze annuities, IRAs, and life insurance. And that's a little bit where it kind of, that's kind of where it stopped, if mm-hmm. you will. Now it's a whole new world in the electronic age that we are in, where these investment entities and banks and places that hold our liquidity have different types of registrations mm-hmm. for our personal property.
Right.
Much
right.
like we talked about the types of deeds,
mm-hmm.
there are now types of ownership at these investment firms, banking firms, places that hold our liquidity. And there are such things now known as a time on death account,
mm-hmm.
a payable on death account, a joint with right of survivorship account. And these are registrations that we make with the institution that is holding our money.
Mm-hmm.
And they are forms that are signed, not under notary, I might add, not with witnesses, I might add, not usually with the guidance of a lawyer.
Yeah,
or
it's usually just as a matter of course of the event. Of
particularly
a,
your estate lawyer, your lawyer that drafted your will.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell our listeners that, you know, that when you're at the bank, when you are working online with one of your investments, almost always questions are asked as to how you want this account registered.
Mm-hmm.
And questions are asked as to, you know, do you want this account joint with right of survivorship? Do you want it to pay out on death, POD, to pay out on death to beneficiaries? And if so, who? And, of course, obviously, Ben, this becomes complicated,
mm-hmm.
And errors can be made very, very easily. And so now as an estate lawyer, we are tracking or having to track not only the will that we prepare
right.
and or the trust, but also, you know, let's review these account registrations. And what I find, of course, is that most of us just don't really know about mm-hmm. these account registrations. It's kind of like signing a form when you buy anything, you
mm-hmm.
know, you just sign it on that electronic keypad, if you will, and you don't really read all the fine print. And of course, the next thing we know, the account is joint with right of survivorship.
Is part of this danger here, or the concern is that, then, essentially, an estate might end up with no cash in it.
Well, that is absolutely a very common consequence of accounts that are all registered with right of survivorship or payable on death to certain beneficiaries. What in effect that does is that we have a home,
mm-hmm.
let's say a house, we have this money in the bank that is joint.
Mm-hmm.
We have accounts that are at whatever investment firm they are that are POD.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of the liquidity goes out almost immediately and leaves the estate bankrupt in terms of monies
mm-hmm.
to maintain the real property, to pay any kind of last expenses, many times even the funeral, the accounting, the legal, the court costs that are involved. And this is a problem.
And also, it may end up that assets are not going where you intended.
Correct. That's the real kicker, is that folks believe that, well, I'm going to add my son to the account
mm-hmm.
because my son is the one who pays my bills. Or I'm going to add my daughter because my daughter is the one that is living with me and needs access to my monies.
Right.
Of course, yes, we want our son or daughter or important person in our life to have access, but they need to have the access through the recorded power of attorney.
Mm-hmm.
This is what gives them total and complete access, not having them registered on the account. Registration on the account is a title issue.
Yeah.
It makes the account, for title purposes, joint with the son or daughter, and therefore the account is you know 50-50 with the son or daughter.
Yes, there's no restriction on what the that other person may do with the account.
That is correct.
Yeah.
So let's keep talking about this. We're going to a break now,
yeah.
I think I see. Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll be back in just a moment here and talk more. If you have questions you would like to add, you'd like to join in, you can call Kinsey right now.
Yes, you can at 800-818-2255, 247-7282, or 353-4674.
And welcome back here on Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240. And of course, every Tuesday morning, Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins. And Cecil Harvell is with us. We're talking about deed. We went from deed registration to account registration.
We did. So let's keep talking here, Ben. We've talked about that one of the disadvantages, of course, is that if everything is registered TOD or payable on death, then of course it could very likely leave the estate without the liquidity that it needs in order to just resolve the estate in an efficient way. One thing that all of us are interested in is not having to have excessive cost with our estate, not having excessive delay. Let's get it done within 3 to 6 months. Let's have it cost a minimal amount of money. Maybe we don't even need an attorney. Well, if all of a sudden you have all of the money that passes out payable on death or time on death and there's no money in the estate, mm-hmm. and one of the children is unable or unwilling, or their spouse is unable or unwilling to give money back to the estate to pay the last bills, well, now we have a delay.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have a lawyer. Now we have extra cost. Okay.
Yeah.
And we see this pretty regularly, Ben. The other disadvantage, as we said, is that maybe the account registration, TOD, POD, is not consistent with what the intention is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we are seeing, you know, accounts that are, you know, $100,000, several hundred thousand dollars, accidentally registered in the name of the decedent and a POD to one child, when in fact the estate goes to three children.
Mm-hmm.
Almost always, usually, it is the child that is the executor, the child that was the power of attorney, the child that is taking care of the parent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But again, that kind of thing is contrary to the intention of the decedent, who thought that the estate was going to be divided three ways, but somehow accidentally, you know, mm-hmm. made a registration with the estate in an inconsistent way.
Well, like you said, it's an unthinking thing. You're just filling out the card. You're just filling out the paperwork.
It is. Keep in mind that the advisor that is sitting across the table, the banker or whoever it happens to be, the stock advisor, you know, they don't usually have right there with them a copy of the will.
Mm-hmm.
They may ask about, they might, if that would be unusual, but they might ask about the will. And if they do, the client will say whatever they happen to say. But when I ask clients about their will, they tell me that it's an apple, and then when I actually read it the day later when they drop it off, it's an orange.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Right.
So unless you've got the document in front of you, mm-hmm. it is hard to advise about these TODs and POD registrations. Now,
then it sounds like then, as you're getting around to this, is that if you have an estate plan and you have designs for this to go certain ways, then maybe if you also if you put the proper power of attorney language together,
yeah,
then you obviously don't need to have the payable on death thing, and that could be payable to the estate.
Well, that's absolutely where we're heading. But I need to say this, Ben, because our listeners are already thinking this. They're saying, well, but I was told, Cecil, that if I do the POD, the time on death,
mm-hmm.
then my account avoids probate.
Mm-hmm.
This is what our good listeners out there, this is, and I hate to be, I'm trying to be not negative, but this is the bill of goods, if you will, that they're being told. Well, let's analyze that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We live in North Carolina. How fortunate we are. We're not in New York. We're not in California. We're not in Michigan. We're not in these industrialized or highly, intensely complicated probate states.
Mm-hmm.
We're in North Carolina, and I always say, and I still say, North Carolina is a probate-friendly state.
Mm-hmm.
We do not have in North Carolina, if you will, a level of probate taxation like they do in many states. We do not require that there be a lawyer mm-hmm. in an estate like they do in many states. And there is not the delay that we see in many states in North Carolina. Our clerks of court are extraordinarily trained. They are there to help our citizenry. And probate in the state of North Carolina is a not expensive and a not time consuming proposition
mm-hmm.
generally.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so to create a bankrupt estate with no liquidity, a account registration that is not consistent with the intention of the testator, all to, if you will, avoid probate,
mm-hmm. yeah.
which we thought was going to be full of delay when it isn't, mm-hmm. full of cost when it isn't, but yet we're creating delay and creating cost with these registrations. So I know that that's what our listeners are told because mm-hmm. that's, of course, what is communicated to us on a daily basis. Well, I was told if I make – I get a lot of phone calls. You know, mm-hmm. I went to the bank this morning, you know, mm-hmm. Mr. Harvell, and the banker had me put my money market account, you know, which has got, you know, $80,000 in it, POD to my daughter because, as you know, my daughter right now is living with me and is taking care of me, and she may need this money.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay. Right.
And this is the very fortunate client that would go so far as to call and ask the question.
Right.
The daughter just has to have the power of attorney.
Yes.
Right. The account doesn't need to be POD to the daughter or registered with the daughter. We're skipping a beat here. We're mm-hmm. skipping a whole body of law. Simply, the bank needs a copy of the recorded power of attorney. And then she has complete access to the money market account without frustrating the intention, the last will and testament and or trust of her mother or father.
And, you know, perhaps the new wording will help ease that a little bit so people don't get confused about what attorney in fact means instead of calling it agent with the power of attorney. Maybe that'll
yeah.
help.
Well, that's a good point to talk about. Effective 2018, really, we're just dealing with this now for what, a month and a half about, the new word under the new North Carolina power of attorney statute is agent. And we lawyers really like that because historically the word was the attorney in fact.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, folks many times thought that that meant, you know, the lawyer, you
right.
know, after all, the attorney in fact, meaning, you know, the word attorney, makes folks think that that involved the lawyer. It didn't. But the legislature now has modified that word, and now our person of authority under a power of attorney is known as an agent.
Mm-hmm.
And that really is what they are. They are the agent for us to handle our affairs when we're unable to do so.
Okay. We'll have more to come in a moment here with Cecil Harvell from Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law, and you can find out more at harvellandcollins.com or call them at 726-9050, and we'll have more in just a moment. Hey, welcome back here. Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240. Thanks for joining us here today. Of course, with Cecil Harvell from Harvell & Collins. And we're talking about account registrations and making sure that you rethink these.
That's right. So, Ben, back to what you said a moment ago before I was explaining that really what happens out there in the practical world is there's discussion about, well, Mrs. Jones, if you'll make the account payable on death, it will, quote, avoid probate. It will cost less. It will take less time.
Other issue is just adding somebody to the account. You know, not payable on death, but just adding them to the account. So they own it now.
That's right. That's right. So that's kind of the reason that these things get done. I think the solution, what is that, of course, again, there's no blanket rule for every single fact and circumstance of client file, of a client file. But generally speaking, I as a lawyer would prefer that the accounts just simply remain in the name of the owner. That there be a good power of attorney recorded so that there's access to all of the accounts. But the accounts remain in the name of our mother, father, grandmother, whoever they happen to be. That they be in their singular name with no particular account designation, payable on death, time on death, et cetera. I would prefer to see that and let the assets pass according to the intention of the testator, which means that they're passing according to the will. This does not take long for this to happen, Ben.
Right, right.
I mean, usually an executor is qualified within a week or so of a death. As soon as the death certificate appears, the estate will follow right behind. And the executor then is able to go and get the $100,000 CD.
Right.
Is able to keep maybe a small portion of it, $5,000, let's say, on hand for expenses, and divide the rest. Go ahead and divide the rest with brother and sister. This too is happening very quickly, within a couple of weeks of a death. Okay. However, if for some reason the account registration is not consistent, then, you know, we've got a real problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I would suggest that the accounts just stay in the name of the decedent, in the personal name of the person. Yes, if it's an IRA, if it's an annuity, if it's a life insurance, we're going to have a beneficiary. Okay, that's just the traditional method that those assets pass. They pass according to beneficiary designation. If you do not have clarity on the beneficiary of your life insurance, your annuity, et cetera, then make the beneficiary, as we said, your estate. And then it will pass into your estate and go out according to your intention in your last will and testament. All of this, however, as we move into the last couple of minutes of the program, all of this is what we kind of call the other side of the coin relative to estate planning.
Right.
I mean, what good is a very well-drafted will and trust, all consistent with what you want to happen,
right,
if the titles to your land and or the title to your properties are not consistent with that?
Go online to harvellandcollins.com. Call them for an appointment at 726-9050, 1107 Bridges Street, Morehead City.